Rav in West Jerusalem where that Palestinian man burst in and killed 8 seminary students. And that was denounced as a terrorist action. I want to ask everybody here, at what point does collateral damage become premeditated murder? Because there's a very thin line between premeditated murder and collateral damage. Let me give you an example. Sheikh Yassin, the leader of Hamas, terrible man. Okay, fine, we agree. He's a terrible man. Terrible terrorist, horrible man. To others in the Middle East, millions of people, he's a hero. They're misled, they don't know what they're talking about, fine. But my question is not about whether Sheikh Yassin is a good man or a bad man. My question is, when you drop a 500-pound bomb on a 15-story building in which you know children and women reside, and then about 5 children die and about 3 women and a whole bunch of civilians, and by the way, Sheikh Yassin kind of doesn't die because he's not there, can you really brush that off as collateral damage? And if you do, do you kind of give the other side some kind of incentive to perhaps engage in the same kind of action, and then when you die or I die, they shrug their shoulders and say, well, that's collateral damage too. The point is that we have to set the rules and then we have to follow the rules. It's not fair if we set rules and then we don't follow our own rules. Let me give you another example. Hezbollah, everybody knows who they are. In 1982, they preparatively blew up a million barracks in Lebanon. They denied that, by the way. And the fact is that they didn't exist when this happened. And again, I'm not going to argue that, because I know this is an emotional, touchy issue. But very little people know that the U.S. government has admitted that soon after this incident, in which over 200 soldiers died, U.S. soldiers, the CIA targeted Sayyid Fadlullah. Sayyid Fadlullah was the spiritual leader of Shias in Lebanon, Shia Muslims. And they targeted a mosque in which over 200 civilians died. Unfortunately, just like Sheikh Yassin, Fadlullah had left by the time that bomb went off. So if you go to Lebanon, and if you address this issue by saying, well, you guys blew up the Marine barracks, so you're terrorists, they'll look at you and go, are you kidding me? You're telling me that 200 soldiers from another country came to my country, occupied it, someone killed them, and then you in retribution killed 200 of our civilians that didn't travel 1,000 miles to another country to occupy it, and you're saying that we're the how are we the terrorists? So we have to set the standard for this debate, otherwise there is no end to this conflict. There is absolutely no end to this conflict. And if you think that you can bomb people into submission after what's happened in Iraq for 5 years, you have U.S. soldiers in Iraq now walking the streets with insurgents who tried to kill them only a year and a half ago. This in itself is an admission of the failure of this kind of adventurism. It just doesn't work. George Bush gave it his best effort. He belonged to what is known as the neocons, and they, God bless them in their sincerity, truly believe in what is called Pan-Americanism. They believe that the American way of life and the American values of freedom and liberty that God bestowed upon this country are universal, so why wouldn't anybody else want them, right? Common sense. Well, other people live in areas that have different historical paradigms, that have different notions of what certain things that we take for granted are. You cannot fit a square peg into a round hole. You can't do that. You can try and hammer it in. You can try and punch it. You can do it. You cannot fit a square peg into a round hole. We have to understand this. We have to understand that this policy of preemption, if you follow the series of events backwards, you realize very often that the first, slight was committed by no other than us. If you look at, for example, Iran, if you talk about Iran,
If you go to any Iranian in Tehran, and this has been done, and you address these issues to them, and say, well, you took 36 of our hostages, what is it, 25 years ago now? 30 years ago? Okay, so they took 36 of our hostages 30 years ago. Okay, now again, I'm not debating anything here, I'm just saying what happened. 30 years ago, 36, I don't remember how many hostages, but, and the U.S. Embassy hostages were taken, okay? Yeah, they, you know, they were allowed to celebrate Christmas. They were treated very humanely by their own account. And then after about, what, 360 something days? Thank you. 444 days, they were released. And just a year and a half. Sure, I know it's traumatic, but if you talk, and your point, I understand what you're saying, but if you address an Iranian in Tehran with this issue, he would look at you like you're crazy. And he'd go, man, don't you know your history? Do you know the history of U.S. involvement in Iran? Do you know what happened before that, for that to occur? Where would drive? I mean, just think for a minute, okay? This whole notion that Islam is an evil religion. Okay, let's suppose for the sake of argument, it is an evil religion. But even then, people are people. Mothers are mothers, sons are sons, and daughters are daughters. That never changes, okay? If we start to dehumanize people, we're going down a path that is very dangerous. Two world wars should have taught us something by now. What I'm asking you is, what would drive relatively unarmed youngsters to storm a U.S. embassy and take hostages? Something happened to make them extremely mad. And what happened was, over 35 years, 40 years and beyond that, of interference, they elected a prime minister democratically. Guess what? We overthrew him. And self-admittedly, I'm not making this stuff up. You can go look it up. We overthrew him. And we instituted a coup. A lot of people were killed. A lot of people were killed. Okay? So when you approach an Iranian in the street and you broach this subject, they kind of look at you and be like, look, okay, we took 36 of your hostages. Sure, it was traumatic. It's not, no one wants to be taken hostage. It's a scary thing. Especially if you don't know if you're going to die or not, right? It scars you. You're there for a year and a half and then you're released. And they will look at you and go, well, if we had killed them, we wouldn't have been very off. Because you killed so many of our people. What also a lot of people don't know for that specific instance is what the U.S., what the Iranian students did after that. What happened was the CIA office, regional office, was located in the embassy, and they shredded all their documents, okay, before the students could take over. What the students did is they went into the embassy and they put all those documents back together again, and that book has been published. Those documents have been published, and that is an eye-opener. Okay, now, I understand. At this point, someone could very well say, well, look, hey, dude, everybody does this, right? Why are you blaming America? You come to America, you benefit its riches, you live here, and then you whine and gripe. Why don't you just go back to where you came from? Right?
They decide to do this.
And, you know, believe it or not, in my conversations with Muslims and other people who support the other point of view, let's say, they raised this issue too. I've had Muslims say to me, look, dude, why don't you just go back to where you came from? Why are you griping? You know, all countries do this. It's historical. The Romans, you know, they didn't spread, you know, little daisies everywhere they went. People died. And my response to that is that the reason I do this is because I love this country. I am grateful for what this country has given me. But more important than that, I love the people of this country. I grew up in England. I lived in Pakistan for about 5 years, then I moved here. And nowhere have I been treated as well as I have in America. I have a genuine sense of love for the people of America. I consider myself an American. And my question to you is, that if you have a friend or a relative that you really, really love and care about, and you see them going down a path that you know is destructive, okay? Look, we're a resource to you. We are from that region. We come from that area. We know stuff about our own neighborhood that you don't. The Bush administration, one of the biggest mistakes they've made is they've been in this little ideological kind of little dream world where they just have certain